whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I feel like I have a lot of hingedness.
I just want to talk about Sean all 4 hours.
I love these guys.
Let's stick around.
Let's do it. Overtime. Overtime. I love these guys, but they're not beating any of the allegations. Like
no,
the dismount there was unhinged as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those guys, fortunately, will continue to permeate into the show because they had a fantastic interview with Nick Caserio, the general manager of your Houston Texans. Want to get into some of that because there was a lot of insight to be garnered from that conversation about this weekend when you face off against the Los Angeles Chargers in the wild card matchup. And nobody cares. This is a me thing, and that's been the story of today. Is just make it about.
And I feel like now I feel like I need to start talking about myself.
Yeah, do you need me back on?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very proud of myself for saying Los Angeles Chargers and not Los Angeles Clippers because I don't know why that's where I go whenever I see LAC in my mind, but I did say it right. It is the Chargers.
I've only said San Diego once this week.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
I missed it. And then shout out to the text line where you can always get involved with the program 713-572-4610. Reggie talking about nougat means that Seth is going to eat 10 candy bars now.
This is true.
And so
this is true.
Immediately, I'd like to apologize to Seth Payne and the entirety of the Payne and Pendergast audience for causing him to fall off the wagon. I imagine. But regardless,
he's never on the wagon.
is that also part of the unhingedness?
He's never on the wagon.
You got John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, Figgy Fig hanging out with you on this Wednesday. It does feel, I heard Seth say this earlier, it does feel like we are a lot closer to the weekend, a lot closer to this game, but no, we are, and maybe that's the slid schedule.
Yeah.
That is a day forward where today is their Thursday on what would be a normal week.
I think it's because Wednesday is usually the day when we turn our attention to the next game, but the regular season doesn't matter anymore, and certainly Sunday didn't matter, so we've been turning our attention to the next game.
Back-to-back AFC champs.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
This game is clearly the most important thing on the docket. It's what we're all working towards, even as we hit this, I hate saying hump day because it feels weird, but hit this hump day on the week. And
hump day?
Wow, that was loud. Woo! Okay. With this game, I think yesterday I was asking, like, what your confidence meter is in Bobby Slowick. But I think it's fair, let me ask this a question, right, instead of making it as a flat-out statement. Would you say that it is fair to say that this offense, you know, will live and die with the performance of C.J. Stroud?
Well, yes, and not only that, let's sort of read tomorrow's headlines today.
Like, how would you do that? How would you even read tomorrow's? What are you, a time traveler?
Well, you never know.
Do you have a crystal ball?
If C.J. Stroud and the Texans don't get it done. Obviously, everybody here and everybody listening, well, most everybody listening, I saw a Chargers text on the YouTube, which was interesting.
Okay.
Maybe they're listening from L.A. Maybe it's a displaced Chargers fan. Either way, most everybody listening wants the Texans to win. But let's say what we've been talking about pretty much all year and going into this game, and you heard Sean and Seth talking about, you know, everybody thinks the Chargers are going to lose. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Let's say it doesn't go well. I think this is a defining game in the short term. Now, I'm not going to be over dramatic here and say, oh, you know, it defines C.J. Stroud. No, in the short term, I think it defines C.J. Stroud. Because if it doesn't go well, if he gets sacked a lot, if he throws the ball into the dirt a lot, if he misses targets, doesn't get it done, as we've seen on occasion this year.
Not in Week 18, baby. Not in the most recent time that we saw him on the field.
Not in those six passes.
Six completions, sir.
Six completions, that's right.
Put some respect.
If it doesn't go well, I think in the short term it kind of defines him for what we're going to be talking about going into the offseason, in the offseason, and going into next season. What was it? You know, what was it with CJ in 2024, 2025? I really do. So it kind of makes me start thinking about what are your reasons and reasons not why he can indeed flip the switch when it matters the most here in the postseason, you know?
Okay. I think that's an interesting place to look at it, and just generally what's the confidence level.
Do you not think we'll be talking about that?
I think that the season that was put on display, especially when you have that stretch kind of in the middle towards the backside of the season for him, where, I mean, you're seeing just a complete, I don't know, lack of confidence, mm-hmm. I think is what is a fair way to describe it from CJ Stroud. That is not going to be easily erased from my memory.
Correct.
Like, as you were talking, right. I was wondering, what is the CJ Stroud performance that takes that out of my memory? Not say, again, not hanging that mm-hmm. around his neck as some level of anvil to hold him down. I still have lots of, you know, good thoughts and, I don't know, good expectations for CJ Stroud as a quarterback in this league. We've seen him be good, and I am holding on to that belief that he is going to be a good quarterback in this league.
Absolutely.
But, like, though whatever happened in the middle of the season, I don't think that gets wiped away by even just the most exquisite of playoff games in the course.
It helps.
It does.
Yeah.
It does help. But mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, I will still have some conversations or some thoughts about that portion in the season. But with that being the case, like, yeah, what it would be necessary for him? Like, I think one of the things and one of the reasons why that one drive, even though I think some of us would like mm-hmm. to have liked to be a little bit longer, but still, one drive where he looks really good is that it looked like he was getting back to some of the things yes. that are innately what make him good, which is getting the ball out on time, but really getting it, putting the ball, maybe not even pinpoint, but in the places that it needs to be to make mm-hmm. completions easier, not flat out missing guys, and then also seeming like trusting his teammates, and maybe the right way to put it is reevaluating the situation and putting the right amount of responsibility on himself, not too much responsibility.
Correct. Himself. Like if he wins, it's a big salve. It's a big way to start feeling better about him. And if you ask me, do you have confidence that CJ Stroud is going to be a great quarterback? You said very good. If you ask me, do I think he's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL? My answer is yes. But there's another question. If it doesn't go well this weekend on Saturday, what is our conversation going to be about CJ Stroud for the entirety of the offseason going into next year? I think that's a different answer. I think it's those questions of, you know, what happened? You know, was it Bobby? Was it him? Is he what we thought he was? All that. So,
how does CJ get his groove back?
Is the major motion picture that you'd be trying to make
all season?
Just like Stella. And I think that's huge. I think that's why this is, at least in the short term, kind of a defining game for CJ Stroud. I really do believe that.
Also, I guess one of the things that it could be, right, and this is me kind of throwing stuff mm-hmm. at the wall in some ways, is as much as I hate it, and I know you see me rolling my eyes, especially if you're on the YouTube or the Twitch,
mm-hmm.
When we start getting to, like, the better quarterbacks in this league historically, mm-hmm. we start talking about what the playoff, you know, resume ultimately
Absolutely.
Is. And again, he is incredibly young. What is he, 22?
23 still.
23 years, yeah. years of age. Right, like, there's a lot of time that still remains in here, but, like, when we start pulling up playoff records and all those things, those are going to come up. And again, I don't subscribe to the notion mm-hmm. of quarterback wins.
But it's going
to
be out there.
That would be another thing. So having CJ in that place playing better would be great. On the text line from the 936, not trusting CJ, although his facial expressions have looked better since last Sunday's walking into the stadium, his face says it all. I'm interested in what you're going for there.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing the thing we're reading too much into stuff, or is that like maybe some idea of trying to point to one of the things that I'm talking about, which mm-hmm. is where it feels like he is at some points taking on a lot of responsibility on himself? And I think there is something to be said for really good young quarterbacks, and I think I've tried to make this point a few times this mm-hmm. year, where there is going to be a moment where, hey, we're not just playing with the natural ability or whatever, or playing on all pro. Now we're playing on all Madden to make the video game. Like we're adding more to this. We're reading more of these defenses. We're trying to, you know, we're trying to learn mm-hmm. more of what this takes at this higher level, and that applies more pressure onto you and more responsibility onto you. And maybe you're seeing his face and seeing those wheels turn, I guess is the way that you might be seeing that. But I don't know that I'm fully going to the place of looking at his face and seeing it all.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I think we're in the business of not just us fans and actually people in the NFL overreacting to these type things, because that's all you're seeing. But excuse me, if you want to see what the narrative might be like with CJ Stroud if things don't go well, look across the field. I mean, it's going to be a mini version of Herbert.
That's interesting, because Herbert exists in this place where he's great,
but you know.
And I mean, so much of that is,
he's got the skill. Boy, does he have the skill.
So much of that is context. Like, so much of that is,
but that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And
he can make every throw, but You know?
Yeah. And what's funny is that there is kind of a, I guess, a narrative kind of argument there. But then there's a lot of people who either are film nerds or, you know, numbers nerds or whatever. I say that affectionately, mind you. I'm not being, I'm trying not to be a jerk at least. Will go to their graves talking about how, hey, no, no, no. Understand, Justin Herbert is still one of the best quarterbacks in this league.
You're sitting across from one.
So, yeah.
I've been saying, we said in the pre, I really like Justin Herbert.
100%.
But even when I've said that more recently, I've also said, but, you know, and that's kind of the atmosphere that C.J. Stroud is going to be living in if it doesn't go well.
It's kind of like that Peyton Manning thing where Peyton Manning was always good in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs. Remember, it took a long time for him to get to, get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that was always the conversation.
John Elway.
But and I guess here's the thing, right? That is more of our domain. Like you ask yourself for the actual team themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you should or that you do kind of keep track of? Because for him, he's just got to go about. He's got enough to worry about, right? We're trying to get a win. And even like he was kind of asked in a similar way because there's been a lot of noise around this game. A lot of it being doubt towards this Houston Texans team. That is what? About a 3-point underdog at home in this one. And so C.J. Stroud was asked yesterday in his media availability, how are you able, and not just you, but you all as a team, able to block out all the outside noise?
Yeah, I mean, noise is always going to be there. You know, it's always, you know, it's part of sports, always evident in the sport. And they said the same thing about us last year, you know, so playing the Browns. And I'm not saying it's last year, but, you know, we went out there and we did what we had to do to win. And that's ultimately what the playoffs come down to is, like, you know, it's 14 teams now and, you know, the microscope is on you. You know, we're the first team to kick it off with the Chargers. And, you know, so everybody has their own opinions, which they're entitled to have those things. So, you know, I really don't mind. I mean, it's part of it. You know, guys are smart. They probably can see film and see that, you know, whatever they want to see. So, and for us, we know we have faith in what we can do and know, you know, that we're motivated to play. I kind of like being an underdog. I've been an underdog a lot of my life and my career. So it's actually comfortable for me. So, but yeah, I don't really think too much about it.
I mean, flat out said, they said the same thing about us last year. All right. It goes one of two ways now. Why wasn't he the guy last year that sort of shocked a lot of people and got that win? Or is he the guy that, well, what happened? You know?
That's interesting. Take me through that thought process one more time. Like the idea of why wasn't he the guy last year?
If it doesn't go well. Is what I'm saying. Because last year, he came in, they came off this huge win against Indianapolis, got the home playoff game, and all of a sudden just destroyed the Browns.
Yeah.
And now, here's similar but different, if that makes any sense, you know, had a nice little feel-good moment against the Titans, seemed to be maybe getting things going, and then he comes into this game. If he and the Texans, you know, lay an egg, it's going to be a different narrative.
I think last year was a little different, though.
Oh, it was.
Because last year, he was a rookie quarterback, and for some reason, people just was waiting on the rookie to come out of C.J. Stroud because he didn't look like a rookie last year.
Well, you say for some reason. The reason is because this is what rookies do. Like, rookies will look like rookies in the playoffs, and that is not – I mean, that's the idea. Like, this moment becomes what we weed out the lesser teams. In theory, you're only playing good teams, and the stakes of this moment make it a little bit more difficult. And that's why we talk about the idea of experience and all these things. It's for moments like that. So it is reasonable to be like, hey, is a rookie going to look like a rookie in this moment?
Against one of the best defense in the league last year, and I think a lot of people was feeling the Joe Flacco fever.
Yes.
Too, let's be real.
Yes.
And he turned into a pumpkin. So I think that's why people I think this year I don't look at the Chargers as like the Browns of last year. Because I think they're a good team, but I don't know if they the best or best defensive team anything like that. So
I think like it's just a different circumstance. I think that like obviously if you're inclined to actually look at the context, I think those answers will come through a lot more cleanly. And maybe you can easily lean on people that you can look at as certain levels of experts. Now, would you consider one Jim Harbaugh as an expert?
Yes.
I called Jim Harbaugh to the witness stand. This is Jim Harbaugh talking about C.J. Stroud yesterday in his media availability.
You know, from the moment, watching him on tape, you know, as a high school player, I was like, wow,
you know, really intrigued. And then flew out to Los Angeles, got in a rental car, and drove up to Rancho Cucamonga, and you know, just watching him play in person, you know, from the side. Then I started watching him from the end zone, and like, this guy's the real deal. I mean, he's going to go all the way, and wish we would have got him, but to come to our school. But he's a great player. You know, just there's all the talent is there. I mean, he's got the courage. So many times I've seen, like, you know, defender coming right at him, and he just stands in there, you know, lets him get close enough, almost knows they're going to hit him, and then he's able to, you know, get the ball up over him, around him, and we're talking 16, 18 yard in breaking dig routes or routes to the sideline. And he's a great guy and tremendous competitor.
Is that what we've been seeing?
It sporadically, which feels like that's kind of been the name of the game with this Texans team, is that in moments you see flashes of what the pieces are that make this team a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't put it together consistently. And I think going back
goes back to CJ Stroud.
Right, going back to the original thought is like, hey, what kind of would you want to see from CJ in order to kind of put yourself, your best foot forward? Those types of things, right? That level of confidence where you can stand in and feel comfortable standing in and, you know, showing your arm and, again, looking a little bit like your 6-for-6 drive there in Tennessee, where you're getting the ball out, throwing with anticipation and hitting your mark. Because when he does that, we've seen how good he is. Mm-hmm. And if he does that on Saturday, actually, you know what? Nay, when he does that
there
on Saturday.
There we go. Okay.
You'll be able to live with the results, which honestly, if he does that, are probably a favorable one.
Go ahead.
I was going to bring up something totally different. Is it a little scary that, I kind of forget Jim Harbaugh actually coached against CJ Stroud in college?
There are a lot of,
and he has some of his rougher games was against Michigan.
There are a lot of coaching stories that are sort of intertwined in this game, and I'm sure we'll get to them. And I'm sure we'll get to, like, I want to make very clear, there are reasons why, and he kind of alluded to it there. He said it's there, you know, with CJ Stroud. There are reasons to believe why it will happen, as you said. There's also reasons to believe why it may not happen.
100%. Especially of late, over the last month or so, you've seen more of the of the reason why you might not expect it to happen. It's one of the reasons why so much of the conversation nationally around this team is negative, is because in the recent form of things, you have not seen them play at least consistently to the level and to all of the things that you point to as to why this team can be good or great. And this is why I wanted to see them play good football coming in. And this is why it's so important that, you know, you get that out of him. Because, again, this is a team that you're playing against that is coached well, that does not make a lot of mistakes. And it feels like this Texas team, when they're the best, they also they're also doing that. Are they going to be that version of themselves, or are they going to be the version of themselves that it feels like they have
been absolutely
more
right.
often than not?
And that's what makes them a scary team, man.
Yeah.
For me, too. They make them scary. They are a scary team for
either
opponents
way.
And for me watching them as well.
Either way, but the talent is there. And it's like, man, I don't know what CJ we going to get.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Wednesday here in the loop. We're going to get our guy Adam Spillane live from, I believe he's from our nation's capital, as the Rockets played out there yesterday. But before we get there, let's get to our question of the day here next. What's your niche sport of choice? Nick Caserio had an interesting answer. We'll discuss it next.